Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Exide Industries Limited, hosted by Investec Capital Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Ms. Swapna Bhandarkar from Investec. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining for the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Exide Industries. My name is Swapna, and we apologize for the little bit of delay. We have the management of Exide with us, and I think, Zico, we can start without further delay. We can start the Q&A, please.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
While we wait for the call, we have the management, Mr. Subhash Chakraborty, the Director of Finance and CFO, Mr. Ashish Kumar. Along with them is Head of Investor Relations, Chhavi Aggarwal. Sir, while we wait for the questions, I would request you to make some opening remarks for the audience, please.
Yeah. So good afternoon, all of you, and thank you for joining this call. So we have just concluded the board meeting and announced the results, which you may have seen in the various kinds of media. So we are looking at a situation where there is robust growth in the lead-acid industry, particularly in Q2, which is also backed up by very healthy growth in profit margins and profitability. So we hope that the trend will continue in the near to mid-term, as we have stated, as I have stated in the press briefing. We are very well poised today, not only to not only grow in lead-acid but also complete our lithium-ion project on time so that we are able to start production on schedule. So any questions have come?
Yes, sir. We will begin the question-and-answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our first question is from the line of Vibhav from JPM. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions, and congratulations on the strong results. My first question is on the lithium-ion side and particularly.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vibhav. May we request you to use your handset, please, for audio quality? Thank you.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions, and congratulations on the strong results. My first question is on the lithium-ion side and particularly what's happening globally to prices of lithium cells and raw materials. Looks like prices have come down considerably, and we could be heading into an oversupplied market. At least in the near term, it looks like profitability across the value chain is getting impacted. Now, obviously, it's early days for you, but just wanted to get a sense as to how you are reading into this environment. Is it getting easier for you to find alternate sources of suppliers? Is the decrease in raw material costs more than offsetting the decline in cell prices? Any early reads would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. See, commodity prices globally have gone fluctuating. Nobody's full on the commodity prices. They depend on various factors, including geopolitical factors, demand, supply factors, and so on. So now the question is, how does one see our project fluctuations? Now, the answer is not very complicated. We also operate in another such kind of environment, which is the lead acid. Lead is also fluctuating. It is also a commodity, keeps on fluctuating. So therefore, fluctuations which happen in the commodity prices, that should not be the deciding factor in getting to a project or getting out of a project, because that is a fact of life. The question is that how does one then ride over these fluctuations? So all that I can tell you is that our technology agreement with supply board also includes supply chain management. We get access to their supply sources, and so therefore, to a large extent, we can float with the global trends. And depending on the commodity prices, the pricing of the end product also changes, as we all know, for all such cases. And this is what is likely to play out. And we do not feel that this in any way will affect the profit or the profitability of the venture, because obviously these corrections will have to happen in the marketplace.
Got it. Got it. That's very helpful. And as a follow-up, could you provide, you know, the revenue and EBIT breakup and, you know, subsidiary ESL for this quarter? And, you know, how much are you expecting in this financial year? Because you have a strong order book of around 600 to 700 crores.
ESL has not yet started operating. ESL project is still in progress. And I think you are referring to EEPL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's merged. Yeah, the next Tuesday.
Yeah, so you're referring to that. Yes, we have a strong order position, which will get executed in the next 8 to 12 months going forward. And the order book is going to grow in time. And right now, that particular unit is importing the lithium ion cells, making the packs and modules, and supplying to the market. It has certainly helped us to get a feel of the market and what it takes to actually build a module and pack plant, and also to start a very meaningful dialogue with all our customers. So that unit has certainly been a good precursor to the main unit, which is going to come up, and ultimately it is going to source cells, which will be manufactured by us. That is when it will get on full stream.
Okay, understood. And my second question is on the lead acid side. You know, so just for the full year, if you can just highlight how you see the blended growth, because, you know, it looks like, you know, the inverter sales have been kind of weakish on a high base, but all the other segments are doing well. So, you know, just, you know, some thoughts on demand going forward.
So overall, as you know, the replacement demand kicks in about 3 years after the OEM supplies are made. So, you know, we are still going through those COVID years. So now, while the OEM demand has picked up now, there is robust demand in the OEM sector, but the replacement demand, which is a follow-through of the demand of the OEM vehicles during the COVID period, that is, to some extent, that affected last year and to some extent this year as well. But gradually, we are seeing an uptick in that market as well. So going forward, I think both in four-wheelers and two-wheelers, we see the demand up as we go from quarter to quarter. So I don't see any particular major worry on that front.
Got it. Thanks, Anup. I'll come back in with you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, on the lithium-ion business, can you talk about you know, what are the areas in which or segments in which you are having good conversations where with the customers where you think you will have good penetration to start off with?
So, first and foremost, thank you for your question. Now, we have a very well-diversified portfolio. We have a multi-chemistry, multi-format product portfolio, essentially in lithium and phosphate. And in terms of formats, we have the cylindrical, we have the prismatic, and course of time, we could also think of blade cells. So, we have a fairly diversified portfolio catering to the diverse requirements in the Indian market. And we have already started having very meaningful discussions with four-wheeler customers, two-wheeler customers, with also, for example, telecom customers in the stationary space and many other such requirements. So therefore, as you can see, we would be one of the early movers in terms of getting up this gigawatt factory going in the country. And therefore, we should be enjoying, by any logical measure, the early mover advantage in this particular business. Now, why early mover advantage is important for lithium-ion business? Let me take a minute to explain. It is because homologation of lithium-ion products takes about anything between 12 to 18 months for any customer. An early mover advantage gives a tremendous boost to the prospects of that particular supplier. I think we are well positioned in that space.
Sir, initially, which chemistry we would be starting off with?
We are starting in the first phase, we are starting with both lithium and phosphate as well as NCM.
Okay. And sir, can you also talk about what is the break-even capacity utilization for this facility and by when can we expect the company to hit that?
See, project of this scale and size will take a number of months to stabilize. Globally, that has been the experience. So this will take some months to stabilize. We are expecting to start production sometimes towards the end of next financial year. And thereafter, it will take a few months to stabilize. And then the actual commercial production, I suppose, will start. So that is the time scale that we are talking about. And so break-even should happen subsequently. Because please understand one thing, there is no dearth of orders. Huh? Evacuation of capacity is the least of the problems as far as this project is concerned. Because today we are talking about national demand of anything between 100 to 200 gigawatt hour. 200 being most optimistic, 100 being most pessimistic. So I guess the number will be somewhere in between. And in the first phase, we are talking about 6 gigawatt hour. So the kind of customer response that we have got and we are getting increasingly, it informs us that I do not think evacuation of capacity will be a problem.
Sure, sir, but
Mr. Kapil Singh, may we request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn, sir. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankit Merchant from SBI Life. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First question is related to the lead acid business. So can you also highlight on the export front, how is the export growth momentum going for us? As well as on the industrial front, are we seeing any changes related to telecom or even solar as an opportunity?
So let me take your second part first. I think the industrial environment is extremely dynamic as far as India is concerned, positively dynamic in the sense that it is growing by leaps and bounds. So the industrial segment, I think, presents a huge promise as far as the Indian market is concerned because we have smart cities coming up, data centers coming up, you have more telecom, more of power plants. So you have a huge developmental agenda, particularly in the public sector, and also now we are seeing that uptick in the private sector as well. So industrial business presents a huge promise, number one. Number two, exports also presents a promise because a promising segment for both automotive as well as industrial. In industrial, as far as industrial is concerned, we are globally competitive and our quality is one of the best in the world. So particularly, let's say, traction batteries, we are supplying to German OEMs like Hyundai and so on and so forth. So it's globally accepted. So therefore, there is a huge uptick in potential, which we are trying to leverage. Automotive also presents a good potential because there is a lot of demand everywhere, and we have lead acid plants, which are, you know, particularly in places like Europe and so on and so forth, they have challenges out there. And so therefore, we feel that automotive presents a very good growth potential as well. So overall, if I were to make a comment, I think lead acid business presents a good potential going into the near term.
Okay, so between domestic industrial, which could, as you highlighted, within those sectors as such, if you could quantify what would be the growth?
Industrial, we are seeing good growth across all segments. It is not one segment. Telecom, solar, UPS, power sector, project sector. So there is no sector which is not showing robust growth as on date.
So in a market share? Sorry, sir, in a market share?
Our market share in industrial, you know, we are the market leaders in every segment. Other than in telecom, which is a conscious decision, other than telecom, we are the market leaders in every segment.
Okay. And in exports, we were facing some anti-dumping duty in UAE or Middle East countries. Now, has there been a workaround related to that?
So, yes, you are correct. In automotive exports, we did face a roadblock in terms of anti-dumping duties earlier. But we have now been able to configure products which are outside the ambit of anti-dumping, and therefore we have started supplies.
Okay. And just my last question related to lithium-ion business. So, you know, we in the last presentation you had given order book of nearly about 600 to 700 crores. So, has the order book changed materially or the execution, or if you could give us some more color related to that?
Order book has not changed, and this is just the, I should say, the incipient stage, because this was the first year of production, taking of orders and so on. Order book has not changed, but the timelines have changed a bit because of certain difficulties being faced by two-wheeler manufacturers with respect to the PLI schemes. So there are some, you know, orders which will get executed, you know, not as per the original schedule, but as per the revised schedule. So order book remains unchanged and it is growing. So there is no difficulty in that. And this is just the start of.
Sure, sir. And the order book had large, I mean, good component coming in only from two-wheelers, or was there any industrial or four-wheeler as well into it?
No, there was a high component of stationary applications like telecom also.
Okay, sir. Okay, okay. I'll get back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. First question again on the lithium-ion cell side of it. Is it fair to assume that once your plant gets stabilized in, say, 2-3 years down the line, you'll still have a much higher exposure to two-wheeler, three-wheeler OEMs in the lithium-ion cell side, given that some of the larger four-wheeler OEMs are also looking to set up their own cell manufacturing units? So could you give some sense on this?
So let me tell you one thing, that, you know, globally there are three models which are in operation. One is for large, particularly four-wheeler OEMs, they are thinking of or have set up dedicated plants. For example, if you take case of Tesla and so on. Then there are OEMs which have agreements, long-term agreements with battery manufacturers because they are not interested to set up their own plant.
Sure.
And then you have others who don't have long-term agreements but they source from various battery manufacturers. Now, this is a function of the capex appetite of these individual OEMs because this lithium-ion requires a huge capex to the extent of 70 to 80 million US per gigawatt hour, number one. Number two, OEMs per se do not have any special skill or specialization in battery manufacturing.
Sure.
This is a completely different subject. OEMs are basically assembly units and their expertise is in the automotive area rather than in the battery arena. So this is a new expertise which they will have to develop, those who are thinking of getting into this area.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge challenge for many, many companies, and therefore they adopt either of these three models that I talked about. And I do not think all OEMs will certainly get into battery manufacturers. And from the discussions that we are having, we are fairly confident that a good number of them will rely on the other two models that I talked about going into the future. And so that's the way it will play out. Two-wheelers, certainly bulk of them will not get into lithium-ion manufacture. And stationary applications, certainly not. I mean, you do not expect Airtel or Vodafone to start manufacturing lithium-ion batteries. I don't see that happening. So therefore, there is adequate space, as I have talked about, that demand is, let's say if I take it as 150 gigawatt hour, which is in between the pessimistic and the optimistic estimate.
Right.
We are talking about first phase of 6 gigawatt hour. I mean, where is the challenge? And then in the second phase, maybe another 6, which is 12 gigawatt hour. So the market is very large and it is going to grow. And therefore, this, you know, poses well, you know, places this joint, this particular lithium-ion venture in a very good position.
Understood. So we're not going to have like a significant skew towards just one or two segments, basically.
No. It is, we are having a very diversified portfolio spread out across all sectors. And as you know, Exide has got deep connects. We have been in this country for 75 years. All the OEMs that you see today, their first launch was with Exide Battery in this country. So therefore, we have very deep connects with not only with OEMs, but also with customers in the stationary application area, where again, we are the market leaders in practically every segment. So therefore, the conversations which are happening today are very, very positive. And we are very confident that this particular project will take off very well.
Sure. And my second question is more on the aftermarket side currently. So we have a vast network of touch points across the country and obviously have a strong brand in its side. How are we looking to use this over a longer term? Are we looking at adjacent products, other consumable kind of products which we not even manufacture, but use the brand, use the network that we have? What are our plans there?
So we are right now not thinking of adding additional products, means unconnected products to our range, let me put it this way, using the Exide brand, because we think there is sufficient scope and opportunity to expand in the core business area that we function in. And as you may have seen, Exide largely sticks to the knitting that we deal with, and we would like to continue on that journey. We are not thinking of adding other products to the Exide brand at this point in time.
All right. Thank you for this. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Couple of questions from my side. First is on the lithium-ion side, just a clarification, the battery pack revenues which we get gets reflected in standalone or in the next charge subsidiary?
So Mr. Mukherjee will answer this question.
So this is part of the NexGel subsidiary. So
okay.
It's listed in consolidated financials, not in the standalone Exide results.
Got it, got it. And second question pertains to the lithium and the basic question. So the homologation process will start after plant has started, or that process is based on the cell sourced from S-Volt and that process is already underway?
Sorry, I could not get your question. There was some disturbance.
Now, the homologation process for the cell which will be manufactured by YAL, that process starts after production has started of cells, or that is based on the cell sourced from S-Volt from China?
No, we are presently importing some cells from S-Volt for our next charge production, where we make modules and packs. Once we start making the cells, there is no need to import. Unless, of course, there is huge demand and we need to, you know, cater to that demand to our supply capacities. But we will be manufacturing the cells in our own plants.
Sorry, sir. My question is on the homologation process for our cell plant. So that will, the process will start after plant has started operation?
No, the process has started. Process has already started because those cells will be making here. So that process has already started. That is part of the discussion and dialogue which is going on present.
Okay, okay. And lastly, can you talk about the growth which we have seen on the lead acid business in 2Q? What was the growth between volume and ASP slash mix change benefit on revenues?
Exchange benefit for, sorry, I
mix change. Price increase versus volume growth in 2Q.
We expect reasonable growth in our lead acid business going forward.
My question is for the second quarter, the quarter which for which we have reported numbers.
Yeah, second quarter we have reported growth. You know, 10% growth value growth. We have reported 10% value growth in Q2. So,
and of that, how much was volume growth?
Oh, how much was volume growth? Yeah, yeah.
So volume growth is almost quite similar because there is no significant price revision during this quarter.
Got it. Great. Thanks. I'll come back and give you a few more questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions. So the first question would be on a lithium ion cell facility. For an OEM customer, how much would be the cost savings versus if they continue to import?
So, you see, it is like this. First, you must understand the ecosystem in which the OEMs operate. Forget about lithium ion. If you look at all the other components, most of the OEMs operate on just-in-time basis. And basically, they do not stock huge amounts of inventory. What lithium ion has done is, because lithium ion batteries are not available in the country, they have had to actually go through a huge working capital cycle in order to be able to make EV batteries. Because you cannot import, you know, from China or wherever on just-in-time basis. So therefore, you have to stock, you know, for 2 to 3 months, keep these batteries and so on and so forth. So therefore, there is a huge inconvenience today, which is happening as far as the OEMs are concerned. Now, the advantage of having a local supply is that you can again revert back to the earlier process by which you can, you know, the way you source other components, you can also source the batteries or the packs or the modules. So this is the first point of convenience. Second point of convenience is that the dialogue which can take place, which takes place today between, let's say, Exide lead acid batteries and, let's say, any OEM customer. There's a continuous dialogue on quality, on improvement, on future products, and so on and so forth. So that is a huge advantage which the OEMs have got. So, therefore, one has to look at it from a very holistic point of view and not look at only what will be the import price. However, having said that, we are fairly confident that we should be able to manufacture the products at the international cost. and be able to command a fair margin on our products going forward. We do not see any difficulty in that. Along with all the other conveniences that I am talking about, which I think will be a huge advantage for which many OEMs may be willing to pay a premium.
Thank you so much, sir, for that answer. Second question was on the usage of cash for the first phase and the second phase. And how much debt do you think will you have, or do you plan to liquidate some of your holdings, the current holdings?
Yeah, the phase one, approximately the requirement will be about 4,500 to 5,000 crores around that. And it will be largely from equity infusion, and we need some borrowing whenever it's required. It's kind of a bridge finance, and the subsequent generation from the core business, we can repay that. So there is no requirement of liquidation of our investment.
So on the related note, just wanted to get your thoughts on the investment in HDFC Life. How do you treat that? Do you treat that as a long-term strategic investment, or at some point in time you would want to liquidate it? Because that makes a difference between treating it as, you know, as an usable asset or treating it more like a very long-term strategic asset.
As I said, that at least for the phase one, we don't need any liquidation of assets, and we'll review the situation going forward.
Sure, sir. So for some time, it will remain in your balance sheet.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Arvind. May we request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions, please?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from Incred. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So again, this is with regard to the S-Volt arrangement. Considering the global ambition of S-Volt, what type of opportunities or restrictions the agreement gives you?
There are no
restrictions. Both in domestic exports. Sorry.
There are no restrictions in the domestic market. Exports, we are not even envisaging right now because it's a new subject for us, which we have to learn. And so the domestic market is quite huge. So therefore, at this point in time, for the capacities that we are envisaging, we are not thinking of immediately getting into exports. So we'll think about it when the time comes.
And will you be allowed to sell openly the cells, or you have to go through a battery pack only of your own?
See, customers all over the world, again, I'm going by the global trend, they require either of the three, formats. Some customers prefer only cells, and then they do the modules and the packs themselves. Some customers want it in module form, and then they build the pack themselves. Some customers want it in fully complete condition, that is, cell module pack. In India also, we will see that playing.
But your agreement doesn't restrict you to sell the only cells if the customer needs.
No. There is no agreement with anyone. You are talking about the S-Volt agreement?
Yeah, exactly.
The S-Volt agreement is we can sell module packs. We are already doing it.
Okay. Now, I was saying the free cells, if like for some OEMs.
Free cells also we can sell, there is no issue.
Okay, sure. Thanks. And the second one is, if I had to look at the growth on the lead acid business this quarter, it seems to have come back to double digit. Is it more of a base effect, or you feel, are you seeing any green shoots for a double digit sustainable growth in the business?
Oh, I think it must be fairly obvious to the people who are reading various kinds of annual reports that we have gained in market share.
Right.
It's very obvious. So, I mean, it's there on the paper. I mean, in the sense that one can easily, calculate that. So, I think we are well poised as a company with all the efficiencies which we have built in to be able to gain in market share further. So therefore, one is of course market growth that is happening. Other one is winning market shares. I think both the processes are simultaneously on. And I think, again, this places tied in a very good, very strong position as of now.
Sure. Thanks for all of this.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Raghunandan NL from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on strong numbers and festive greetings. Sir, firstly on the lithium project, once the production ramp up starts off from FY26 onwards, when do you see, how do you see the ramp up happening? Would it be possible to reach optimal utilization of 70-80% in 2-3 years? And as and when you reach that utilization, what would be the kind of ROE that would be targeted by the company?
See, I do not, once the, you know, these are little premature in the sense that the project is actually now coming up. But we certainly would like to stabilize the production as soon as possible. Any project of this scale requires time. There are global benchmarks and so on and so forth. So I'm sure with the active support of S-Volt, we will make it sooner than later. And once that happens, we would like to ramp it up to full capacity. Because as I said earlier, you know, the evacuation of capacity as far as orders are concerned should not be an issue.
Got it, sir. And would you be targeting 15 to 20% kind of ROE on this business?
So we, this is a very broad-based discussion because the numbers can only be worked out once the project goes on stream. But roughly, we would like to attempt the same kinds of EBITDA that we have today in lead acid. So it will not be a drag on our consolidated account.
Got it, sir. And sir, you mentioned that phase one investment would be 4,500 to 5,000 crores. Just wanted to clarify that number because I think last time you had mentioned 4,000 crores. Has there been an increase in the investment budget?
There's no increase in the investment budget. That's what 4,000 crores is the equipment. I mean, capex basically. There are other elements also, you know, opex as well as GST element on that. So all these taken together, it will be approximately around 4,500 crores.
Got it, sir. And given that, the investment limit has also been increased by the board and already you have done an investment of 1,500 crore, so the remaining investment should complete by FY25?
Yes, it will be within FY25.
And in the core lead-acid battery business, what would be the kind of annual capex, around 500 crore?
Yes, it will be around 500 crores.
And lastly, sir, on the inverter segment, lead-acid batteries, how do you see the performance or do you expect a growth this year? How are you seeing that segment?
See, this particular segment is, I will not say it follows a very defined kind of logic because every year the situation is different based on power availability and so many other factors. So, but the fact is that, you know, for the last 20 years, we are thinking that this market will basically not be there because of increasing rural electrification. But what we are witnessing is that with increasing electrification, this market has continued to grow. Basically because the quality of power and the kind of power which is available, particularly in the hinterland, that is not of the same quality that is available in the cities. So therefore, there is a requirement for inverters. Now with increasing digitalization and the entire, you know, rural India practically now getting used to the digital way of working. So therefore, power requirement has become a huge issue, not only for day-to-day life, also for education and everything else. So I personally feel that, you know, this market is going to be there. It is not going to just go away because people want that 24/7 assurance of power in their houses or hamlets or wherever they are. And so this market, now how much it will grow next year, how much it will grow year after that is very difficult to predict. But this market certainly will remain. I do not see it going away very soon.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Very useful. One last question, if I may. On the gross margin side, there has been an improvement quarter-on-quarter basis. Some benefits of, you know, like softening commodities also there in the play. Just wanted to understand, for next quarter, would you expect input cost to be stable or are you seeing any kind of increase?
We cannot give any future guidance on that, but and the commodity market is always volatile. It's very difficult to predict what will happen in the coming quarter. We can only say that in Q2 it has improved on YOY basis as well as on quarter-on-quarter basis, in spite of there is some increase in the lead cost. In fact, YOY basis, its lead cost increase was 4%, which had an impact on the margin of 2%. But actually, our material cost has come down. So that shows the improvement we are having on the cost optimization.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Tiwari, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, congrats on good set of numbers, sir. Firstly, on the YOY growth side, like you mentioned, the entire growth of 10% has come from volume only, but replacement was soft. So is the industrial vertical has grown in like say mid-teens in this quarter YOY in terms of volumes?
No, both the segments have grown. I mean, both the divisions have grown. So we do not get into micro level analysis of each particular subsegment, but both the divisions have shown growth.
Okay. And any revenue that we booked in this quarter in the lithium and battery packs, if you can provide that.
Pardon, I could not.
Lithium and battery pack revenue that we have booked in this quarter.
In Q3 you are talking about?
Yeah, Q2.
So, I think that's not part of the standalone.
See, this is not part of the standalone results. It's only...
Yeah, that I got, but it's part of consolidated, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, quarter to quarter disclosure of volumes of particular, you know, segments.
Or even the first half, you can provide some color how much revenue we would have booked in this battery packs.
I don't know. We'll get back to you.
Okay. And lastly...
get back to you.
Sure. And lastly, on the lithium ion cell part, obviously government is focused a lot on localization of this entire value chain in India, and we obviously have not got the PLI, but do you think that once the cell plants start coming into India, there is a possibility that there might be some custom duty increase something on the cells which we largely imported in India right now? Is there any discussion on that with government right now?
So we cannot predict what the government will do. But certainly the government is encouraging Make in India, and the Honorable Prime Minister, you know, has specifically emphasized this point in a number of meetings. So therefore, I do not see why the government should not be following the same line with respect to lithium ion, because this is a major point of focus for the government of India. But how and when they will consider this is something that we cannot comment on. It is for the government to decide.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saif Saurabh Gujjar from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So first question would be on exports. It would be what proportion of our total revenue? Maybe you can have it for first half of the quarter as you wish, but and what would be the volume growth we are witnessing specifically for exports? And in terms of our strategy, what level of exports are we targeting? And that would be on the back of how? So we are targeting to be a low-cost supplier. And does that mean our profitability can deteriorate from the export segment? How should we think about that?
Well, as I have stated earlier, if you take industrial exports, we are really on top of the value chain in terms of quality, in terms of consistency, in terms of acceptability. So there is our strategy is not to sell some cheap product. We are selling quality products at a fair price and realizing the full value of our brand globally. That has been our you know strategic focus, and exports will gradually increase in course of time because of the quality of our products as well as the reach that we are trying to build now globally.
What would be the proportion of exports to the total standalone business revenue?
Right now it is
about 9%.
Right now it is about 9%, but in course of time it will go up. Also the domestic demand is very robust. So we will see how to balance this out.
And what sort of growth this 9% has been based upon? Like what growth we have achieved in exports maybe last year?
We have achieved, as I have said, we do not, you know, get into micro level discussions on each customer segment. But the growth in exports has been extremely robust.
Okay. And second question would be on some capacity utilization. If you can help us with capacity utilization levels for two-wheelers, four-wheelers, industrials.
See, again, overall capacity utilization will be upward of 80%.
So, and what level can be achieved and beyond what level we would have to go for capacity additions?
See, capacity additions, it is not only capacity additions, it is also, you know, reconfiguring the shop floor, an exercise which we continuously engage upon, trying to make it more efficient. So, therefore, capacity addition right now, maybe in one or two sectors, de-bottlenecking is necessary. But overall, we have reasonable capacity now to meet the demand going forward.
Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Rathi from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my first question was related to industrial division. So recently we have seen a lot of announcement as far as data center is concerned. So I wanted to understand what is the market opportunity for us and how do we see the growth panning out in this segment or how much of our revenue is contributed by this segment specifically?
See, data centers are a growing segment in the country. It is something like, you know, for example, if I were to take a parallel, like the drone segment. Now, these are just started. This data center business was not there, let us say, 10 years ago. Now, gradually, this is picking up. So, once this starts picking up, this is nowhere near the kind of scale that we have in, let's say, Singapore or US, California, and so on and so forth. But it is going to grow because data center is a business which, you know, a lot of companies are embarking on this because of the sheer digital scale of our country and the growing prospects. So this business is going to grow by leaps and bounds and we are well positioned cater to this sector.
Right. So, sir, I wanted to understand for us, let's say, per megawatt of data center, what kind of opportunity is there, you know, for us to understand how the growth can come for us?
So, as far as we are concerned, this presents a huge opportunity and we are catering to it. Now, as I have said, this particular segment is at a very incipient stage.
Okay.
It is minuscule compared to what is there in some of the more developed countries. So let this segment develop, then it will become clear to everybody.
Got it. Fair enough. So, and secondly, my question was again on the margin side. So we have definitely seen some improvement over the last three quarters in terms of EBITDA margin. But when we compare this with our historical averages, we are still almost 1.5-2% away. And so what could be the reason now and how do we see this going forward?
So again, we cannot give any future guidance on the margin, but which we stated earlier also, we are having a lot of cost optimization initiatives, and this is showing results. That's what I said a while back, that in spite of some commodity price increase, we could get a better Q2 margin compared to the previous quarter. And so going forward, definitely we're likely to see some benefits on the cost, and that should result better margin. But again, there are lots of other volatility like commodity price and etc. Those are also there. So very difficult to predict any margin, but that our cost initiatives are on.
Got it. So, sir, for us, what's the target, let's say, of EBITDA margins going forward? I don't want any guidance, but what is the target that we are trying to achieve?
Target is, again to go back to the earlier position, so around 14.5 to 15.
Oh, got it. Fair enough, sir. That's it from my side, and thank you for answering the question.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, you had mentioned that, you know, we have not seen an increase in order book for the lithium ion battery pack. So just wanted some color on the industrial side. I mean, you mentioned two-wheelers, but on the industrial side, why have we not seen an increase in order book?
Industrial side, there is an increase in order book. But industrial orders do not come on a steady stream, you know. Industrial orders, they come lumped up. So you supply one order, then you wait, and then the next order comes. It is like that right now, because this particular unit is just starting now. Once it, you know, well on its way with our battery cell manufacturing unit and everything else, then it will be more continuous. But industrial orders certainly have been good, more than our expectation.
Okay, so like, overall order book has increased or it has not increased? I'm sorry.
No, order book is increasing, but please understand 600 crore is nothing for this sector. It is just like getting your toe wet. Once the main plant comes, sales start getting manufactured, then is the time to really, you know, assess what kind of order book will come and what will exist and what will happen going forward. This is just the starting point.
Sure, sir. And if you could also talk about, you know, I was looking at some of the projections you've made on the demand side for two-wheelers in particular. What I'm seeing is that, you know, industry size could become very large. For example, it would be by 2025, we're talking of, let's say, 3 million plus kind of two-wheelers probably. So the one challenge it could pose is that the lead acid business could start to see a decline. I mean, just how do you assess that as a risk, and could it have implications for the company? How are you planning for capacities in that context?
See, our opinion is not that it will decline. Our opinion is that there will be a certain percentage of the business which will go to lithium ion, but the overall pie is going to increase. I think none of the projections that I have, any OEM or any other manufacturer, is showing a decline in lead acid business. What they are showing is a certain percentage in the future dedicated or will be taken up by EV business. Okay, number one. Number two is that if you look at the projections of the OEMs, the major OEMs, if you look at Suzuki, if you look at Mahindra, if you look at Hyundai. They are all are making robust projections of the standard format. This is the internal combustion engine format cars with hybridization. Some component of that will have hybrids, which again, you know, for us it is okay because we supply batteries for that. So therefore, I do not see any huge, you know, sudden change in the market where you will have only EVs and none of this. This is not happening. So I am very sure that the future will play out with a multi-chemistry, multi-format kind of situation, because the demand is going to be huge. We want to grow from, you know, $3.7 trillion to $5 trillion and then beyond. That kind of growth cannot be supported by any one kind of technology. This is our opinion, and going forward, we will have coexistence of all formats. Even EVs require one lead-acid battery for auxiliary application. Now, that is not a compromise. That is the best battery for that application. A lithium battery in that application, which is a 12-volt application, is not the ideal technology solution. So therefore, lead-acid is not going away too soon, and we will have not only lithium-ion, emergence of other technologies. All technologies will find their own niche applications, because all technologies come with pros and cons. There is no technology which has only pros and no cons. Therefore, that is the world, kind of world we are looking at. That is in our opinion, but certainly other people are entitled to have their own opinions on this matter. This we feel is logical.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in this call. It was very exciting for us to discuss some of our plans and programs with you, as well as answer your questions. We found it very engaging and fruitful, and I hope you also found it likewise. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.